Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Our speaker, Steve. Oh, and I want to pray for you. They want me to pray for you. Father, we just lift this man of God up before your throne, and I speak blessing and favor over him. I pray, Lord, that the words that would come through his mouth would be right from your throne room. Father, I pray for his heart to be humble and the people to be receptive. And Lord, what you would have to speak would not be void and would not fall to the ground, but would take plant and grow and would be good seed. We bless him and favor him. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Are there any shapers in the room? So for my shapers, here's the plan. First, I've got two announcements, real quick announcements, and then we're going to get into it, okay? May 11th, gospel truck, right out there. We would love to have some people join us for outreach. The gospel truck is at 3 to 5. If you could join me there at 10 a.m., we're going to go out and hit the streets. We're going to announce to everybody, we have a block party, and it's all about Jesus. And so please join me May 11th, 10 a.m. Yeah? Awesome. Also, today we got baptisms. The way to salvation is through faith in Christ alone, but we also believe that if you've not been baptized and you're a follower of Jesus, your very next step is this. Jesus, he did it as an example, and I use this analogy all the time. I have a wife, I love her. She's back there. Her name's Heather, and we're married, right? And how do you know that we're married? Because I got this wedding ring on, right? But if I take this off, we're still married, right? But why wouldn't I want to wear it? Why wouldn't I want to show everybody, you know? And also, and we're not going to get into this today, but if you look in 1 Peter chapter 3, at the end of 1 Peter chapter 3, he shows that it is actually an act of spiritual warfare being baptized. Very powerful, very good stuff. So speaking of Heather, she and I have we got a little girl. Her name is Sybil. Today, she turns 4. About 9 years ago, this family prayed with us that she would be born. And here it is 4 years later. And she's just rocking it out. She put lipstick on me yesterday. And it was awesome. Are there any parents in the house at all? Yeah. So I don't know if... So we have this toddler and we have a bedtime routine. Anybody know about bedtime routines? What's awesome about a bedtime routine when you have a toddler is you never know exactly when you're going to go to sleep. You get an idea. And so what we do is I go first and we pray. And then she always asks me, she says, Daddy, you read me a story? Daddy, you read me a story? And it's not really, well, I read from a book. It's, Daddy, will you tell me a story that you make up on the spot? And so what I do is I gave her the classics, y'all. I gave her Cinderella, Princess and the Pea, Game of Thrones. Just kidding. We don't do Game of Thrones. I just threw that in there. But the difference is with the ones that I give her and the ones that you know is I put a little spin on it, a little different feel to it. She always asks me, Daddy, are they happy? Before I start, Daddy, are they happy? Right? So one time I tried to give her Rumpelstiltskin the way it was supposed to be.
Wow.
Yeah, she was like, no, I don't want to hear it. And I'm like, so now it's a different Rumpelstiltskin. It's a different Rumpelstiltskin. And Little Red Riding Hood, in fact, the wolf in that story has such a small role that sometimes I forget to put him in it. And she'll call me, she'll be like, Daddy, what? You forgot the wolf. You forgot about the wolf. And I'm like, oh, that's right, yeah. And so what happens is she's going down the little trail with her basket, and the wolf comes out of the bushes, and he says, hey, little girl, what's your name and what's in the basket? And she says, my name's Little Red Riding Hood, and I have cupcakes, cookies, and M&Ms that I'm taking to my grandma's house, and my mom says I can't talk to you. And he says, okay, good call. And he leaves. And that's it. And so that's it. That's the only spot that she gets, that he gets in there. And so I'm thinking about that. She's four now. And so I'm like, man, one of these days, very soon, she'll be in a situation where they're going to tell her the real story. And she's going to be blown away. Like, I don't know if they still do this in the school, but I imagine a time when she's hearing about Hansel and Gretel, and it's going to be different than what Daddy said. And she's going to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. She's going to do what with those little kids? And then she's, Daddy, you know. And so what I want to do is I want to start to give her, I'm going to start to kind of, a little bit at a time, introduce her to the real deal. Because she'll hear something like Little Red Riding Hood, and she'll hear the title, and she'll immediately know the narrative of it, right? Because what we do when we give something a title, when we get something a label, we then define its interpretation to other people, right? Let's play a game. Let's pretend like all y'all are teenagers, and it's a Thursday night, and we're over there, okay? So this is what we're going to do. I'm gonna. We're not gonna sing. So we're not gonna sing for the new people. No new people song. I know. So what we're gonna do is, I'm gonna give you a title of a well-known fairy tale. Okay, and I'm gonna give it to you like it is, and I want you to tell me what the story is. Okay? And don't raise your hand. Just shout it out. Okay. All right. The selfish little girl who eats all the baby's food and steals his bed.
Goldilocks.
Yes, yes, okay. The deceitful little man who wants to steal newborn babies.
Rumpelstiltskin.
Yes, good, good, good. Okay, 12 districts, and they sent two out to... You guys aren't... That was a trick. You guys can't read... I'm just kidding. Yeah. All right, now, this is what I want now. This is what I want now. Who has their Bible? Turn to Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And when you get there, just raise your hand.
1511?
Yes. You don't have to raise your hand.
I wanted to.
Okay. What is the title that you see there?
The Parable of the Lost Son.
You see, what do you see? Some people see the Parable of the Lost Son? Parable of the Lost
Sheep.
Lost Sheep? That's one. That should be 15:1. 15:11. Lost son, prodigal son. He said, keep me on my toes. Mark, appreciate it. The last time I preached, Tom, he looked at it and he was like, you did really good, except for next time use more Bible. And so this time I'm using all Bible. And what that does is it takes the pressure off of me and it just puts it on God and he can handle it. Isn't that awesome? So this is what we're going to do today. We are going to unpack the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. We're going to rename it though. And that's cool. We can do that. It's not blasphemy. Jesus didn't call it this. What does verse 11 say? What did Jesus say?
There was a man who had two sons.
That's it. There was a man who had two sons. So there are three people in this. There are three people in this. And my tendency to call it the parable of the lost son just shows how I identify so much with that guy, right? Because it's a perfect picture of salvation. But there are three characters in this story. And what I'm going to call it is the parable of the patient father. Parable of the patient father. Because we like to put ourselves in the middle of the story, but really who's in the center of the story? It's God. It's the Father who's in the center of this story. He's the one who is at the center of salvation. And he's at the center of creation because he's the beginning and the middle and the end. And it's all about him, right? So I think it's like the smartest thing we can do. If we really want to study the Bible and read the Bible for all it's worth, we've got to have living in our mind a Near Eastern, ancient Near Eastern person, or in this case, a Jewish person from 2,000 years ago. Okay, and like my friend Dana says, we're going to go into the Wayback Machine. And we're going to unpack this. And so here's the deal. I'm going to set the scene up for you. Jesus is traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem, and he is about at the end of his ministry when Luke records this parable. Let's do it. You guys ready? Let's get into it. Oh, I'm going to shorten this a little bit to make room for baptisms.
Yeah.
So if you guys, if you've not been baptized and you want to be baptized, today's the day. We have extra clothes in the back. So anyways, there we go. 15:11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." Hold on right there. So the guys, the people hearing this, they would have thought, well, that's unusual. It's not unheard of, but it's unusual for a son to want to claim the inheritance before his father's passed away, okay? Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Now, all of the Jewish people around there hearing this, they would have thought, "Well, this guy, like I've heard this interpreted this way, like that. I've heard it interpreted like he wished his father was dead." And I don't know if I would take it that far, but I do know it. He would at least. It sounds like I can do this on my own. I don't need your help. I can do this on my own. How many times have I said that? How many times have I'm like, you know what? I don't need anybody's help. Sometimes I might not like being told what to do. Like seriously, if you were to come up to me and I'm doing something and you were like, hey, you know what? I know another way you can do that. I would say no, you know, and that's to my detriment. That's to my detriment. Like, hey, can I give you some advice? Absolutely not. I don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? I want to do things on my own, right? This is human nature. But here this guy goes and he takes this money from his father and he's like, I want to do this on my own. I don't need you. I'm going out. And so these people hearing this, these Jewish people hearing this, they would have thought, wow, not only did he take the money that wasn't due him yet, he destroyed it in this wild living. This is a double treason. This is how they would have seen this. All right, let's go. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. This is something else too. Yahweh has a covenant with Israel. Israel is God's chosen people. It's a holy land. And it's so, like, you can find, you know the story where Elisha heals the guy with leprosy? I don't remember his name. But before he leaves, what he does is he says, before I go, I want some of this dirt to take with me. And he goes to this unholy land, and he wants to take this holy land with him. You're right? That's how serious this is. And so these people hearing this parable from Jesus, this guy's leaving his dad. He's leaving the Holy Land and he's going somewhere else. Not only is he sinning against his father, but he's sinning against Yahweh. What's going on here? So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. I mean, that's an unclean animal. That's another thing. So do you see what Jesus is doing here? Do you catch this? He's painting a picture of an unredeemable person. This guy's unforgivable, guys. And he's putting this in their mind. And so what they're picturing is just, this guy deserves death. He deserves outcast. He cannot be redeemed. He cannot be forgiven. This is the picture that Jesus is painting for everybody listening. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you and heaven. I have sinned against heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and he went to his father. Have you ever been in trouble before? Have you ever done a thing when you're like, oh my gosh, I gotta go apologize for this thing that I just did? And especially if it's a long period of time before the sin, the offense, and the time when you have to own up to it. You know that feeling that you get? You're like, oh my gosh, I gotta go. Okay, so all right, what am I gonna say? All right, Father, I deserve to die. I'm the worst. No, that's too much. That's too harsh. All right, Father, I might have messed up. That's not heavy enough. And then he says this, right? So I imagine him, you know, he's a long way off. You know, he's in another country. And so he has all this time to sit and think about this and to go over this apology. And then my favorite part of this whole parable, I'm not going to cry on this. This is my favorite part. And if you know this parable, then I know you have observed this. Ryan just talked about this. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. While he was a long way off, what does that tell you? He's sitting there watching and waiting, yearning. He's pining. I just want my kid back. I just want him back. There are three rebellions in the Bible. The first one is the fall of Adam and Eve. And the father's heart, broken, as soon as he had to remove them from the Garden of Eden, he immediately, I just want my kids back. And so this is the father's heart. He's sitting, he's waiting, and he's watching for his son. And when he's a long way off, he runs to him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Now catch this. What's the next verse? But the father said to his servants, quick. He interrupted him. You catch that? He interrupted before he got the rest of his apology out. But Jesus, so intentional with his words, he made sure that he represented the repentance part. First, he had to repent. What a beautiful picture of salvation. First, he had to say, I can't do this without you. I've sinned. I'm sorry. And then he was starting to go into I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And he said, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. The signet ring, meaning you're part of this family. Only the father can say who the son is, who deserves sonship. Only the father can say this person is allowed and deserves to be in my home. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. This is a picture of what goes on in heaven. Anytime somebody gives their life to Jesus, all of the divine council, all of the heavenly host, the angels. You know that song that we sing, it's in Revelation, the elders, and they take their crowns, and I thought those guys are on their feet in celebration because one person said yes to Jesus. It's just that one, they don't say that whenever, it doesn't say that in the Bible, hey, if you recommit your life to Jesus, they're going to celebrate. No, it's the one, I give my life to you, God, and the elders, they jump to their feet. The divine council, they jump to their feet. The angels, it's a party. It's a celebration, right? This is what Jesus is portraying. All right, what's the next verse? Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Let's stop right there. Do you think that the Pharisees realized that Jesus was talking to them?
Yeah.
You think they were catching that? I don't know. I mean, but it's obvious. Obvious they were. I want to point out some things in this verse. Can you go back the verse before? Yeah, stay right there. So he hears, the older son hears this. What he should have done was went to his father. He should have went to his father and asked him. But there's a disconnect, right? There's a disconnect between him and his father's heart. Instead, he goes to somebody else and he asks him, what's going on? And let's go to the next verse. And the guy's like, we're having a party. Your brother's back, dude. This is reason to celebrate. The father, knowing that this disconnect was here, still loving the older son, he went out The father went out and pleaded with the older son. There's this disconnect between hearts, but the father, he's like, I don't care about that. Are you okay? I love you. What's going on? Let's go to the next verse. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The older son, he's like, I'm out here doing this thing for you over and over. I'm slaving for you. Can't you see me going through the motions? Can't you see me walking out the law, these things that I'm supposed to do, this discipline? I'm doing it. I'm doing it, Father. And he's like, yeah, you're not connected to my heart. Sometimes I feel like we need to stop going through the motions. You know, I feel like we need to reconnect to our Father's heart. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like, man, I'm just going through the motions, dude. I'm just like, do you ever have that thought in your head? I haven't heard his voice in days, weeks, months, ever. I've never heard his voice. The Father just wants to connect. And so have the prayer team come up. I'm going to tell you this story. The very first time I ever spoke here, I told this story. I hope you don't remember it. There was this man who he was traveling. He gets on this airplane, and if you've been on an airplane, especially at night, so this is a nighttime flight. The dude's worked all day. He's tired. He's ready to get home. And, you know, you're like, okay, here we go. I'm just going to grab my stuff. I got my carry-on. And you know how it is. Like, you're looking for your seat. You know, you're like, where's my seat at? So I can just sit down. He picks a window seat. That way he could get some rest, right? It seems like you have more place. You know, you can put your head there or whatever side you're on. And so he's walking, and he looks, and he was like, okay, there's my seat. Oh, there it is. 31A or whatever, and he looks behind him where his seat's at, and he sees this 5-year-old girl sitting there, and he's like, oh, cuss. Like, I just wanted to get some sleep, and I know I'm not going to be able to get some sleep because she's going to be back there kicking my seat, and I just want to rest, man. And so, you know, he's already just given up, and so he sits down in his seat, and he's just sitting there. He's kind of got a bad attitude, but he's being polite. You can't look at him and think, this guy's, you know, rude. And the plane takes off, and, you know, this is a nighttime flight, and he hears this little girl in the back, and she's, like, giggling, and she's excited, and they pull up over the city, and it's a cloudless night, and he's sitting there, and he hears this little girl say, Daddy, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. You have to look. And she's excited about this. And everybody on this side of the plane hears it. And they all look. And they see how beautiful everything is. And the guy's like, huh. Look how good this is. Look how beautiful this is. Sometimes I feel like that God wants us to take another look at how beautiful he is. Take another look about how good he is. It's so easy to become comfortably blessed. When you follow the King, you walk in favor. That's just who you are, right? When you're a son, a daughter of the King, sometimes it's easy to feel like, oh, yeah, this is who I am. Sometimes we need to take another look, y'all. Sometimes we need to take another look at how good he is. This morning, we're going to do this old school. We're going to have an altar call. That's scary, isn't it? Isn't it scary? Because you got to step out. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never said, I surrender everything to you, King Jesus, I don't know who you are, but I just know that I need to follow you. I can promise you this. It's never boring. Following Jesus is never boring. Everything changes. I can promise you that. Everything changes. If you're in this room and you've not done it, I know that you feel you're feeling something right here. And that's Jesus knocking on the door to your heart. And he just wants you to let him in. I want to invite you to come up here and pray with someone up here. And also this, if you're like me and sometimes you feel like you've been going through the motions, I just want to reconnect to my Father's heart. Like, I feel disconnected. I've not heard his voice. Can I tell you something? Let me tell you some good news. It's never on him. Isn't that weird? Like, that's weird good news, isn't it? It's never on him. Like, if you feel separated from God, it's not on him. It makes it easier. Because all I have to do is, like, I surrender. I surrender. I lay down. I give it all to you. And he's never, like, you know, if it was the other way around, you'd have to worry about what he's doing. And you don't, because it's never on him. It's only on us. So I want to invite you up. If you need to resurrender, if you feel a disconnect from the Father, if you've never heard his voice, we want to talk to you about how to hear his voice. We want to pray for you. And also, if you want to be baptized, I'm going to go change my clothes back there. And we're going to baptize. Yeah?
Yeah.
Amen. Can everybody stand? I'm going to pray for you guys. Amen. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge your presence. We love you. We just want more of you. Would you increase your manifested presence in this room? God, I thank you for everybody in this room. I just ask for an extra helping, an extra portion of boldness for those that feel disconnected from you. God, I know that you are the patient waiting Father. And all we have to do is just surrender and lay it down. God, I just surrender. I ask for forgiveness for any time that I've disconnected myself from you. I repent. I turn away from that. Remind me, Holy Spirit, would you remind me that worship is constant, that everything that I do unto you should be worship. Would you remind me that everything that I do, let it be worship unto you. Let everything be incense. Let everything be a sweet sound to you. Because you're the only one that's worthy of it. You're the only one that's worthy of praise. All of creation cries out to you. The planets spin because of you. Light bends towards you. Because you are the worthy one. You are the holy one. You are the lamb on the mountaintop. We love you and worship you, Yahweh, King of kings, the most high God, the uncreated one. You are worthy of all praise and honor and glory. God, I just bless everybody in this room, God. I ask for an increase of your presence in their households. I ask for an increase of your presence in their marriages, God. Every single baby that's in this room right now, or all the babies that are not in this room but are in this building, God, I thank you for supernatural health. I thank you for supernatural development, God. I thank you that their brains, their brains get super wrinkly, God. They get super smart, God. I thank you that you're increasing their intelligence, Father. I thank you that their organs and their body develop just in line with the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now this will take a little time. We've got all day, and I just want to encourage everybody, just be patient. Some of those that are know ahead of time they're going to get baptized. If you can kind of get are you ready? I'm assuming you are. They are.
Yes.
Yeah, you need to change. So, yeah. Well, not here. This is an awesome time. This is an incredible time for several people. And I just want to reiterate, that's a big word, what Stephen said there. If you're here this morning, you hadn't thought about this before you came, but God's pulling on your heart right now that you need to make a decision, and you need to take some action with that decision. And baptism is so it's vital. to it, because what it is, it's, as the Bible says, it's a expression of a pure heart before God. It's basically you are setting a precedent for the rest of your life, because God says to do this. Jesus himself was baptized. You remember that? Jesus himself was baptized. And John the Baptist said, no, he goes, you need to be baptizing me. And he said, no, we must do this to fulfill all righteousness. So it's a command of God to do that. And then from that time, it becomes a precedent or an attitude that you have. I'm always going to do what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to obey. I obeyed here, and I'm going to continue to have a life of obeying Holy Spirit, obeying God as we go. So, amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.